vain man would be wise, though man be born like a wild ass's colt.
Let's pray. Father, help us now tonight. Give us liberty and power to preach. And I pray for the word of God might touch our heart, stir us and move us to be what we ought to be. In Jesus' name, amen.
Now, I want to talk to you tonight about donkeys. I must confess I had a hard time with the title for this message, for obvious reasons. With any kind of imagination, I could think of 100 unseemly titles based on this verse. But discretion prevents me. But in that verse, it said, a man's born like a wild ass's colt. Talked to a fella, and we was talking, and I told him, I said, you can find something to preach in the Bible. I said, you can preach on anything. And we talked for a while, you know. He said, okay. He said, preach on donkeys. Okay, so I'm going to preach on donkeys. Donkeys are in the Bible. If it's in the Bible, you ought to be able to preach on it. Amen? Now, the real word is ass. It's not donkey. The Bible word is ass. And that's only dirty if, one, you have a dirty mind, or two, it refers, or you are referring to human anatomy. An ass is a creature. A male ass is a jack, and a female ass is a jenny. And that's what they're to be called. Now, there are all different kinds of asses, and just like there are all kinds of dogs and all kinds of cats. And you have different names for them, especially for different breeds of the same animal in different countries. You can call them burros or donkeys, or you can call them asses. It's all the same thing. And then people get, it's amazing how crude and loose people live, and then how offended they can get if you say one word that doesn't fit their palate, you know. I remember my wife and I hadn't been saved very long, and we were in a little country church, and this fella got mad at the preacher and left the church. And he got mad because the preacher used this word in a sentence. He said, the Israelites went down into Egypt and had intercourse with the Egyptians, referring to commerce, trade. This guy was obviously a pervert, had a dirty mind, said he wasn't going to sit in no church where a preacher talked dirty. Amen. Now, I've said ass from time to time in the pulpit, and I say something like, and so-and-so made an ass of himself. And people get, raise their eyebrows, and I had one little lady one time about had a heart attack. But if I'd have said jackass first, nobody would have thought anything about it. I don't understand why it's necessary to mention the sex of the animal to make it legitimate. It's a perfectly good word, unless you're messed up in the head. Somebody say amen. It's like some of those other slang words you use. And you use them because there are no other words in the world that are as apropos for some situations as those slang terms you so skillfully use from time to time. I'm off to a great start, but I can just sense real enthusiasm here. My, my. But anyway, so I want to talk to you about this donkey, this burro, this ass. Now, I want to talk to you about five of them. Because this verse said, a man's born like a wild ass's colt. And anytime the Bible says like or as, there's a lesson to learn. Amen? So let me give you these five donkeys in the Bible that are worth noting. Number one, there is the sentenced donkey. Exodus chapter 13, verse 13. And every firstling of an ass thou shalt redeem with a lamb. And if thou wilt not redeem it, then thou shalt break his neck. So every time there's a newborn donkey born, a fellow who owns it is supposed to redeem it. He's supposed to offer an offering for it. He's supposed to redeem it with a lamb. And if he doesn't have a lamb or won't give a lamb for it, then he's to break the donkey's neck. Things to die. Now, you say, why is that? Well, I don't know all the ins and outs of why that is. I just know that's what the Bible says. And God has his reasons for it. But I do know this. It makes a great illustration for a man. You see, in John 1:29, you've got to be redeemed with a lamb. You're born like a wild ass's colt. You're born like that donkey. And if it doesn't get redeemed, it has to die. Amen. And just as surely as that Israelite had to take that donkey out and offer a lamb for it to save its life, if he doesn't, it dies. And if the Lamb of God isn't slain for you, I'm telling you what's going to happen to you one of these days. You're going to die. Because you're born like a wild ass's colt. And you're born sentenced. You're sentenced to either be redeemed by the Lamb or to die without him. Every man, woman, boy, and girl on the face of this earth will either be redeemed by the Lamb or die like the wild ass's colt. Every last one of them. Just like that donkey. Now, number two, there's the speaking donkey. That's found in Numbers chapter 22, verses 28 through 30. And the Lord opened the mouth of the ass, and she said, and that donkey began to talk to old Balaam. Balaam had smitten the donkey a couple, three times because the donkey saw the angel of the Lord there with a sword going to kill Balaam. Finally, the Lord opens the donkey's mouth and the donkey begins to talk. And because Balaam smote it, and the donkey told him, he said, that guy tried to kill you three times. He said, I saved your life. Balaam lived because the donkey talked. Balaam was spared death on the road there because the donkey talked. Now, you're born like that donkey. Do you know how other donkeys get spared? You know how sinners get spared? The donkey's got to talk. You and I have to be vocal. You're born like a wild ass's colt. But you can be the means by which God delivers the guilty. Amen? This world is filled with sinners on their way to hell. The angel of death, ready to strike them down and let them plunge into the depths of hell. And the only way they're going to miss that is if the donkey talks. If you and I, born like a wild ass's colt, will open our mouth and witness for Jesus Christ. If the donkey will talk, we can save some. Amen? Now, if that donkey hadn't opened his mouth, When Balaam walked through that rock wall next to that little tree, he'd have been a dead man. He'd have been smitten down. The angel of the death would have had him. But because this poor little donkey, this dumb donkey, isn't it humiliating to be compared to a donkey? Well, at least he could have done was compared us to a lion or some great member of the cat family. God compared us to a donkey. God compares women to pigs, queers to dogs, and the rest of us to donkeys. By the way, you can go within the Bible and look at all the animals God uses to illustrate mankind, and boy, some great messages in there too. Amen. You can go anywhere in that Bible and find something to preach on if you open that book and look. Let me ask you this. Are you God's donkey? Are you talking? How many Balaams are going to perish because the donkey fails to speak? He said, go ye into all the world, preach the gospel to every creature. Every person saved by God's grace, all us donkeys ought to be talking to see how many we can save, how many we can spare, how many we can keep from going down to hell. Amen. David said, I have believed, therefore I have spoken. Paul said, we also have believed, and therefore do speak. The Bible said in Romans, and they that believe shall not be ashamed. The Bible said, be ready always to give a reason for the hope that lieth in you. Preach the gospel unto every creature. We're to speak. You're to be a talking donkey. Remember they had that movie or TV show or whatever it was? I can't remember. It was called Francis. Francis the Talking Mule. Well, they got that idea out of the Bible. You know, that mule is a cross between a donkey and a horse. It's a mixed breed. But they had that mule talking, you know. Of course, it was supposed to be a comedy. It's supposed to be funny. I'm telling you something. There's nothing funny about people going to hell. And there's nothing funny about donkeys that God has given a voice and won't use it. Amen. If you don't have laryngitis, your voice box isn't destroyed. If you know God, you ought to be talking. Number three. There's the straying donkey. That's first and found in 1 Samuel chapter 9, verse 3. And the asses of Kish, Saul's father, were lost. And Kish said to his son, Saul his son, take now one of the servants with thee, and arise, go seek the asses. So what happened? Well, this man got some donkeys, and they got away. They wander off. They got loose. They were lost. They were his. They belonged to him. And he wanted them back. So the man sent his son to find them. And he, if you read the rest of that chapter, you see he went a long way and spent a lot of time looking for his father's donkeys. And he finally finds them and brings them home, which is exactly what he's supposed to do. Amen. Now, you belong to your father, and some of his donkeys are missing. I'm talking about saved folks. And they're backslid on God. They've left the Father's house. They're out of fellowship with God. They're out of the church house. They're back in sin. They're lost in the wilderness again. They're still his donkey. They still belong to him, and he still loves them, and he wants them back. He said, how does he do that? He uses you and I to go into the wilderness and get them. When folks come to this church and get saved and give their life to Christ, and they live right for a while, they attend here for a while, they become one of us, they join in our fellowship, and then something happens and they wander away, they quit coming to church, they quit showing up. Guess what we ought to do? We ought to go find the straying donkeys and do what we can to bring them back to the Father's house. All too often, somebody leaves, doesn't show up for 2 or 3 weeks. Nobody even notices it. 3 or 5 months later, say, whatever happened to that fellow that used to come here for a while? Well, one, how come it took you 4 months to say anything about it? Amen. Because folks come into the church house and they're interested in themselves and their little one or two friends in the church. Nothing worse in the world than people that can't have but one friend at a time. Everybody in the church ought to be your friend. Amen. And come into the church house and they don't notice anybody or anything that's going on except that little group they're interested in. The rest of the church could not show up. They wouldn't know the difference. That's pitiful. That's pitiful. You ought to keep your eyes on everybody. And somebody doesn't show up one or two Sundays, you ought to be saying, finding out why. Or stopping by to see them. Or give them a call on the telephone. Or drop them a card and say, we missed you Sunday. All those straying donkeys need to be found and need to be recovered. Then there's the serving donkey. Found in Mark chapter 11 and verse 2. He said, you shall find a colt tied whereon never sit man. Loose him and bring him. Now, there's two things about this donkey. This donkey is going to be used of the Lord, and he's going to be useful to the Lord. The Lord's going to use this donkey to carry him into town. Palm Sunday and all that stuff. And of course, we're not real big on all that junk, but if you're into it, fine. It's okay with me. Point is, this donkey was useful to the Lord and used of the Lord. Gives me two thoughts concerning me and you since we're donkeys. Some of y'all don't look like you're happy about being a donkey. Thank God you're the Lord's donkey. You could be a lost donkey. Amen. It said man is born like a wild ass's coat. That's everybody. That's everybody. At least I'm a saved donkey. I'm a redeemed donkey. The Lamb died for me. Amen. Now, I want to be used of the Lord. I want to be useful to the Lord. Amen. When my race is over, I want to look back and see that there was some place where God used me to do something. I want to look back and see that I was useful to Jesus Christ. That ought to be the heartbeat of every Christian. We ought not to want to be able to look back on our life and say, well, we started out in a plywood trailer and we ended up in a 15-room house. Well, that's no big accomplishment. I got a mansion up in glory. There's nothing down here going to, you know, what's a big house down here? I'm not interested in earthly accomplishments or the things that we acquire in this life. I'm not telling you to live like a pauper. I want you to have a good life and enjoy things. I think God does too. But too much emphasis is placed on that. It's way, way too important. So what's important? Being used of God. When you get home to glory and it comes time for the praise and the rewards, I guarantee you what you're going to wish is that you had been used of the Lord and been useful to the cause of Jesus Christ. You're going to want to look back and see where God wanted you to do something and you did it. God used you and you were useful in the cause of Jesus Christ. That's what's important. Only one life to live will soon be passed. Only what's done for Christ will last. You won't get home to glory and boast about all you did down here and all you had down here and how big you were down here and how much fun you had down here and all the places you went down here. When you see the assembled universe fall in front of the majesty of the universe and render homage and you hear His response to them, well done, thou good and faithful servant, enter into the joys of thy Lord, and the rewards are passed out, you won't think about anything you did for yourself down here. You ought to remember that everything you do for yourself is time and energy expended on a corpse. You got that? You're dead. You're just waiting to lay down and start thinking. You're a corpse. You're an animated mud ball. And one of these days, the life force will exit your body and you will rot. That's all we are. Why in the world would we spend so much time and energy and money on this thing? Now, I know you got to live. I understand that. I know you got to dress and eat. I understand all that stuff. But that should not be the focus of our life. It should not absorb all of our time. It should not take all of our resources. The primary thing, the main thing, is what have we done for Jesus Christ? Has He used us? Have we been useful in His service? That's what's going to count. Number five. It's going to be a really short message. Well, I can only find five good donkeys. I'm used to having 8 or 10 or 12 points, you know. Number five, the submissive donkey. Found in John chapter 12, verse 14. And Jesus, when He had found a young ass, sat thereon. Little old colt nobody had ever sat on. And the Lord sat down on him. And the donkey didn't buck, he didn't kick, he didn't throw a fit. He was submissive to his Creator. He was submissive to his Creator. We all need to be submissive donkeys. We ought to listen to and obey our Master, our Creator, our Savior. You know that submission is the key to getting anything done for God? Do you realize that the foregoing points all hinge on the last one, on submission? You know you can't get saved if you're willing to submit. You've got to humble yourself. You've got to acknowledge your inability and acknowledge His ability. You've got to say, Lord, I'm lost and I can't save myself. Help me. You've got to submit. You've got to own Him as the Lord. If thou shalt believe that Jesus is the Christ, then God hath raised Him from the dead. Thou shalt be saved. With the heart man believeth unto righteousness. With mouth confession is made unto salvation. You've got to submit to the Lord. Amen. To be a witness for Jesus Christ, you've got to be submissive. He said, go ye into all the world, preach the gospel to every creature. You know what you have to do in order to be a witness? You have to obey. You have to submit to His authority and to His leadership. You've got to let Him be the boss. Most Christians want to love Jesus and run the show themselves. They want to take care of their own lives, decide what they ought to do, when they ought to do it, and this, that, and the Lord has little or nothing to do with it. That's always a great tragedy. Your life will be a whole lot more profitable, a whole lot more peaceful, a whole lot more purposeful if you let the Lord do it. You're not going to be a witness for Jesus Christ. You're not going to take a handful of tracts and pass them out every day. Talk to people on the job. Talk to people on the street. Witness for Jesus Christ. Tell them they need to get saved until first you submit to Him. He told you to do it. If you're submissive, you do it. If you're rebellious, you don't. You have to be submissive to stay close to God. To stay close, to stay in fellowship, you've got to be submissive. Can two walk together except to be agreed? Humble yourself under the hand of God. Draw nigh unto Him. You can't have fellowship with God. You can't stay close. You can't keep that intimate, personal relationship, that sense of sweet peace and harmony that a Christian ought to have. It's your birthright. But you can't have it if you won't submit to Him. The minute you take your life in your own hand, the minute you exercise your own will, a gap grows between you and Him. You have to be submissive to serve. You're not going to do anything for God. You submit to Him. I work for a fella. I do commercial industrial heat and air conditioning. He's the boss. I'm smarter than him, better looking than him, but he's the boss anyway. Now, to stay employed and to stay in right relationship with Him, I have to be submissive. I have to say, yes, sir, no, sir, if that's what you want, sir, that's stupid, but I'll do it anyway, sir. Now, you understand my point? To stay employed with somebody, if you work for them, you've got to be submissive to them, right? You're not the boss. You say, yes, sir. They say, I want you to run across town and do so-and-so. Yes, sir. You're in submission. And as long as you are, things work well. The minute you start telling the boss what to do, things aren't going to work well. Especially if I'm the boss. To serve Jesus Christ, you have to be submissive. He's the boss. He's in charge. We serve Him at His good pleasure, at His discretion, and in His way. We don't tell Him how we will serve. Just like you don't tell your boss how you will do your job. You're told how to do it. But it seems like the minute the Lord tells us to do something, we all resent it. But if you're going to be a servant of Jesus Christ, Romans 1:1, Paul, a servant of Jesus Christ. Man, that takes a lot to make that statement. Sometimes I feel, well, I'm a servant or not. It's so easy to be self-willed, self-directed. Well, when you're self-willed and self-directed, you're not submissive, you're not a servant. And you're supposed to be. In our society, you know, we want to say, well, I ain't bootlicking to nobody. I ain't bowing to nobody. You're nuts. Everybody submits to somebody. Everybody submits to somebody. I don't know where we got all this stuff about being antagonistic toward authority or rulership. It's the law of life. Without it, you have anarchy. 2 Chronicles ends with, and there was no king in Israel in those days, and every man did that which was right in his own eyes. That won't work. Everybody allowed to do whatever they want to, any way they want to, whenever they want to. You have blood running in the streets by in the morning. Everybody has got to be submissive to somebody. All you got to do is decide who you're going to submit to. Since I'm just a dumb donkey, I would say I'm just a dumb ass, but y'all wouldn't understand that, see? So I'm not going to say that. I think I'll submit to the one who created the donkey. He knows donkeys better than anybody. He's the creator. He is the Savior. If I got to be submissive to somebody, why not make it Him? You know what every Christian ought to do? We ought to make every effort, every day, to put Jesus Christ in charge of our life. To be submissive to His will. To be submissive to His direction. Say, why? Oh, we might be a soul winner. That we might be a servant. That we might be used of the Lord. That we might be useful to the Lord. Because without submission, none of those things will happen. Now, you're a donkey. Whether you like it or not, the question is, whose donkey are you? Father, we thank You for Your goodness and Your mercy. Lord, we realize we're very short tonight. But